Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Words of God come. Have you ever started across that line and all of a sudden a scripture will come to you? Didn't even know you knew it. Didn't know exactly where it came from, the quotation, but it's there. See, that is a rhema. It is used personally. It's putting faith into action, reasonable faith in action, and that is that sword that we pull out. And we win. The sword is two-edged. It cuts us and it cuts out. It's offensive and it's defensive as we go through this winning walk.
The truth is, you're not indestructible, but neither is your enemy. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young concludes his message, Know Your Weakness, and shares powerful truth right from God's Word about how you can resist the devil and actually cause him damage. But before we get to today's message, we want to tell you about a powerful resource from Dr. Young called Unmasking Evil. This timely sermon series shines a light on the evil and suffering you see around you today and exposes the lies our culture believes that actually wreck people's lives. As you learn from God's Word where evil comes from and how it works, you'll be equipped to stand against evil in your own life and in our culture. We'll send you this 5-message series as our thanks for your gift to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and others all over the world through this program. So call today to request Unmasking Evil when you give. Call 1-800-350-WALK. That's 1-800-350-9255. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day, so we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. Now here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, Know Your Weakness, Part 2.
We say, well, reason is strong and faith is weak. And therefore, we talk about natural revelation. Stay with me. That's the created order. And we say, I can look at the natural revelation, the created order, and I can come to believe that there's a God. Okay? That's reason. But we look at special revelation. That's the Bible. We say, oh, no, I have to accept the Bible by faith. Let me show you something. The best way to understand the difference between reason and faith is we use reason to have a faith and we use faith to have reason. They're not opposites. They are complementary. Best way to see that is you're dating someone, your wife, husband. And when you're dating, it's good to use a little reason. If you fall in love only with your heart, heaven help you. Only by appearance, time out. So we use reason. We get to know the person. They get to know us, their habits, their understanding. There is a reason that involved. And then on the basis of that reason, we move into a faith. It's like saying, I do and I will. We have a reasonable faith. We come to the altar, I do and I will. We use our head and we use our heart as we fall in love. Our head gives us reason, our heart gives us faith, and they come together. And we have marriage. We have a reasonable faith. And that's important that we understand that. And so this shield of faith is strong. It is a reasoned faith. It is a firm faith. And faith is used in many ways in the Bible as a verb or a noun. It's the object of your faith. Somebody who just squirrels around, I see them all there, oh, Pastor, I'm very spiritual. I have a lot of faith. What in the hoot does that mean? Nothing. Nothing. It's the object of that faith. And the object of that faith is reasonable. And therefore, we can understand it. We can comprehend it. It takes both to do it. We have a reasonable faith. We have the idea that, that Aristotle or Socrates invented logic. You read that in philosophy, well, he invented logic. That's like saying Galileo invented gravity. No. Logic was there. Logic, as far as worldview is concerned, is neutral. Is neutral. But we use logic, and logic comes from reason, and it leads us to faith. A steadfast, a firm faith that we have. So we put up that shield of faith. We have something. We are protected. The enemy can't get to us. And we say, well, I have a lot of doubt. I have faith, but I have doubt. Listen, doubt's a super thing. You have to believe something for there to be a doubt. You have to have faith before you have the ability to doubt. Doubt your doubts. It'll be stronger, and you'll have a reasonable faith and a faith that is reasonable. It's beautiful. It's the way the Bible operates. And so let me say it like this, where you remember it. There was a hunter out in the rainforest of Africa. And it was a quiet time, had his gun over his shoulder. He's walking around, man, breathing the clean air, beautiful colors, sights. All of a sudden, in the almost silence, they heard this screeching noise. Why? And all of a sudden, the monkeys started jumping around, making noises. Everybody's moving. He got his gun, say, something's up. And he looked up, and he saw a mother bird was making all this noise. And he saw that she had, you know, new little birds, baby birds in the nest. And she was flying around. He said, what's she so upset about? And he looked and saw a snake going up the tree where the nest was. He said, uh-oh, I know what she's upset about. And then he said he saw the mother bird fly over here and get a leaf and fly back with a leaf and very carefully put that leaf over the nest where the babies were. Just cover the nest with that leaf. And said, then the mother bird just flew off and sat there. Everything got quiet. The snake was still going up the tree. And said, when the snake got up the tree, he said, oh, this is going to be cruel. But the snake went back and started to strike. And then suddenly the snake backed up. Didn't harm those baby birds. Just went right down the tree. He said, I was amazed. So I went to the village and asked some of the villagers there. I said, what happened? And they laughed at me. They said, don't you know that leaf was poisonous to that snake? And those baby birds were totally safe underneath that leaf. When the devil sees that shield of faith, ladies and gentlemen, fires all those doubts and fears and temptation. Man, we're behind that shield of faith. I'm telling you, that is our line of defense. So we pick up the shield of faith that handles all the fiery darts that he tries to bring into your life. Temptations and doubts and frustrations and anger. The shield of faith. Feel the faith. Get behind it. The next thing we pick up is the helmet of salvation. We put on that helmet. And that says, this is who we are. The helmet protects the mind, the thinking. It gives us clear thinking. Don't you like people who think clearly? I saw Joe Namath on television, a sports talk show. Remember, if you're on TV, unless you're on the news, some news, and unless you have a number on your back, I'll not see you. That's just the way I am. I apologize for that. People said, did you sue this? No. You've got a number on your back, maybe, particularly if you're from Mississippi. If you've got a number on your back, you know, I was watching a little sports show and Joe Namath was on. I'd heard Joe, Broadway Joe, had all the concussions. And I noticed a few years back he was slipping. You know, he wasn't speaking clearly. His mind was sort of hazy. And I could tell his cognitive ability had greatly declined, all those concussions. Then I saw him on this talk show and, man, he was clear and speaking just candidly and vividly, remembering things. And in the process, they asked him, Joe, what's happened to you? And he got in some hyperbiotic thing that feeds, like you go in from being a diver would go in, and oxygen would come. There's a special treatment they gave to his brain. And he told the story. He said the whole right side of his brain, he said, was darkened when they first tested him. But they begin a new process of putting oxygen in that brain. He said, now they test me. Both sides of my brain are lighted. There's oxygen. There's blood flow there. And there's been a rekindling of the brain and the stem in there. And you could tell the way he would speak and the way he'd work. This has great hope for stroke victims. It has great hope for those who have a series of concussions. I saw it right there. This is what happens when we put on the helmet of salvation, ladies and gentlemen. All of a sudden, things that were dark are clear. And God reveals to us, and we think clearly, and we operate clearly. The helmet of salvation. We put it on. We put it on. And then what else do we put on? We really don't put it on. We pick it up. We take it out. That is that sword. By the way, in most armies of this day, most people are right-handed. They'd put the scabbard and the sword over here, and they draw the big sword like that, right? Not the Romans. No, no, no. Not this kind of armor. The Romans had that big old shield like a door, and they kept, if they were right-handed, the sword here, and they drew the sword right out like this. Bam! And it was right there. It was a short thing, about 6 or 8 inches long. And I've heard all my life people teach on this, well, the sword is the only offensive weapon, the Word of God, right? The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. That's not true. The sword is an offensive weapon, but all the armor is too. Go up against a Roman, hand-to-hand combat. He's got that shield, bam. I mean, that's offensive. He's got those boots of peace, have like spikes on them. Let me tell you, that's offensive. He has his helmet on. Have you ever been headbutted? Bam, that's offensive. He's got this breastplate of righteousness, bam. He'll get you, and he's got that sword of the Spirit right there, bam. The Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. Now, usually in the Bible, the Word of God, you see the word logos in Greece, or logos in Greece. It is the whole Word of God. It's all that's available to us. It's like having an arsenal of weapons over here. But the sword is not, the word here is not logos, it's rhema. And it is also another word for the Word, and that is how it is used. The sword is used in a very personal, direct way. It's how Jesus used the Bible. In his temptations, what did he say? It is written. It is written. And he'd be dealing with the Pharisees, the Sadducees. He'd say, as the Bible teaches, as the Bible teaches, would he not? All the way through, he used this as truth. It was the sword. That's how we use it. I mean, I had a little battle years ago with my heart. And all of a sudden, I'm in a hospital room and a verse come to mind. Create in me a clean heart, O Lord. Renew a right spirit within me. Bang. Perfect, wasn't it? Clean heart, right spirit, there it was. Words of God come. Have you ever started across that line and all of a sudden a scripture will come to you? Didn't even know you knew it. Didn't know exactly where it came from, the quotation, but it's there. See, that is a rhema. It is used personally. It's putting faith into action, reasonable faith in action, and that is that sword that we pull out. And we win. The sword is two-edged. It cuts us and it cuts out. It's offensive and it's defensive as we go through this winning walk. That's salvation. That's Christ. You say, well, I don't know about the Bible. Walk through something I think is very important. Jesus says the Bible is true, right? Use the Bible as truth. The Bible says Jesus is true. Okay. But that's circular reasoning, is it? We know everything about Jesus from the Bible? Bam. That's what I know about Jesus says, I look at the Bible, that's circular reasoning. But it's really not when you add one other element, and that is the Bible itself. This Bible contains 66 books, right? Written by 37 authors on two continents. Written over a period of 2,000 years, covering a scope of history at least 4,000 years in length. You would expect different understandings, different backgrounds. You'd expect incoherence. You'd expect conflicts. You'd expect all kind of thing with a book put together like that, wouldn't you? Logically. But what do you find here? You find progressive revelation. You find God progressively revealing himself to man over a period of time. You find truth all the way through here. You see how prophecy is fulfilled here. It is predicted here. It is fulfilled over here. And you see the evolution. You see the involvement of the progressive knowledge of God through the scripture. And you see the thematic, the theme of it stays absolutely consistent all the way through. And so we hold up and we see historians have not been able to disprove one centimeter of this Bible. Archaeologists, as they dug into the past, they've only found things that affirm the scripture, not anything that rejects the scripture. You look at anthropologists, they study all these tribes, all these ancient groups and sects, and they see it reigns true with the language, with the understanding of the scripture. You say, well, I'm in the Bible. They talk about in cosmology, they talk about a flat earth, and that is not right. We know. Let me tell you something. Look up on the internet, Chicago Council on Inerrancy, and you'll understand what is happening here. Here's a woman who has a PhD in nuclear physics. How does she talk to her four-year-old child about quantum physics? No, about the laws of thermodynamics? No. She talks on the basis of their understanding. So you look at the Bible, it stands up as truth. Therefore, Jesus says the Bible is true. The Bible said Jesus is truth. And the Bible itself stands up as irreversible truth, as inerrant truth. That is not circular reasoning. It is founded there. And then we look at Jesus and see, how did he stack up against truth? He didn't just teach this stuff and these principles. He fleshed it out all the way through his death and through his resurrection. That is the reason we can put on this full armor as we're instructed to and know that we'll be able to do what? We'll be able to stand. Stand firm. I spoke to a group of young parents. I thought of this, I hadn't thought of it in years. I went to Mississippi College, a school outside of Jackson, Mississippi in Clinton. And once we had Abigail Van Buren to speak to us. Now, you know Dear Abby? You know, all the newspapers, Dear Abby columns, they'd ask Abby questions and she'd answer them. And after she got through speaking, they asked her, they said, Abby, of all the answers you've given, what answer did you give that got the most response from other writers? She said, that's easy. And she told this story. She said, I got a letter from a woman in Idaho. Had to be Idaho. And she said that, Dear Abby, I have always done my housework in the nude. And she said, I do it. Nobody's at home. I pull all the drapes, all the blinds. She said, I just do my housework in the nude. And she said, I just wonder, I told one of my friends about it. She said, that's really weird. There may be something wrong with you. And she said, I don't know. Is that okay? Idaho. Abby answered the letter in sort of an ambiguous kind of way. She said, well, you know, you're by yourself doing your housework. That's what you do. I don't see any problem. But she said, you might better go get some, you know, psychological counseling of some kind to make sure it's, you know, it's okay. And Abby said, as a result of her response, she got letters of strong response on both sides. Some people wrote and said, well, what in the world's the matter? She's by herself. She does her housework. Nobody's there. Blinds are pulled. What's wrong with that? It's crazy for you even to question that. That's no big deal. Others wrote and said, obviously the woman is psychotic. She's out of her mind. She needs to get immediate help. Somebody who would do their housework without any clothes on. And then Abby tells the group there in my school, she said, then I got an avalanche of letters, but said one letter stands out. This woman wrote and says, Dear Abby, in response to the woman who did her housework in the nude, let me tell you what happened to me. She said, a few weeks back, I got up, took a shower, put on an old robe, and said, I started, it was the wash day. She says, I went and got the dirty clothes in my kids' room and all of our dirty clothes and hampers. Said, I took them down in the basement. Said, I do all my washing down there. And she said, while I was down there, I was drying something and there was steam in the air. And she said, my hair, I just got it fixed. It was straightening and falling. And she said, I want to do something to cover my head. And she said, I reached over there and got my son's football helmet and put it on. You know, you ladies understand, it's covered. And it was, and she said, there I was. And she said, all of a sudden I put something in the washer and I saw how dirty my robe was. She said, you know, nobody around. I didn't have any clothes on. She said, I just took my robe off and put it in the washer. She said, I was standing there in my football helmet without any clothes on in the basement, nobody there. And she said, all of a sudden I heard a noise. And she said, I looked over the other side of the basement and in walks the man to read the gas meter. And she said, I screamed and said, he hollered. And he said, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. And he starts going out the door, but says, as he went out the door, he said, lady, I sure hope your team wins. Let me tell you something. If we put on the full armor of the Lord Jesus Christ and take off you and take off me, let me tell you something, that helmet and all the rest of it will be on the winning team for God in the 21st century.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Well, before we end our program today, Dr. Young has joined me in the studio to help us dig a little deeper into today's message. We know evil is real, Dr. Young. We've seen it in the brutal attacks of terrorism by groups like ISIS, often targeted against Christians. Why doesn't God step in and do away with evil right here now?
Well, we wield God's word in our own lives, but also you'll find biblical principles are just everywhere. The first shall be last. The last shall be first. There's a biblical principle, but you don't have to enunciate that principle. You can say to anybody, have you noticed how those who are egotistical and pushing themselves forward end up falling in last place? Then you can point out, you know, the Bible teaches that. So many times in business principles, you say, boy, this is a great word from this business guru or this business philosopher or scholar, and you can look back and say, hey, I already discovered that when I read Nehemiah. I always knew the principles of delegation as I studied the life of Moses. So we see so many things that we see in the secular world that, you know, that's where it originated. We know the scripture, they are backed up by the truths of God. Also, we can say anyone who's going to stand up against the immoral, secularism, humanism of our day, they need to be clothed with the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who are, stand, survive individually and their families, and the influence spreads throughout all their friends.
Very helpful. Thank you, Dr. Young. You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. We hope today's message has encouraged you with the proven truth of God's Word, and we'd love to strengthen you further with a powerful series by Dr. Young. It's called Unmasking Evil, and he created it to help you face the evil in our culture in a uniquely Christian way by resting in the assurance of God's love for you and the ultimate defeat of evil through the cross. This 5-message series is our thanks for your gift of support to keep this program going strong. So call now to request Unmasking Evil when you give to reach more people with the proven truth of God's Word. Thank you. Call 1-800-350-WALK. 1-800-350-9255. Thanks for being with us today. Come back tomorrow as Dr. Young begins his message, The Ultimate Weapon, and shares the once and for all answer to the problem of evil.
Winning Walk is a listener-supported ministry. Your prayers and financial support allow us to bring proven truth to listeners around the world. Connect with us at winningwalk.org. That's winningwalk.org. Give us a call at 1-800-350-3255. 1-800-350-WALK. That's 1-800-350-9255, 9255, 350, 350-9255.